Good day, everyone. Welcome back to Dreams Warp, the podcast designed to awaken you to a new reality. For today's episode, you know what day it is. It's Sunday, and that means it's time for our Zen stream. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode. Hey all, before we get into this, I just need to allow a quick word from a sponsor. Thanks for your patience. All right, let's go ahead and get into this. My name is George, and if this is your first time here, first I want to say thank you for checking out the podcast. The purpose of this podcast is to explore the mind and the depths of consciousness that create it. Ultimately, the podcast is here to help you gain a sense of mastery over your reality and your life through mastery of the mind. So if that's something that interests you, you have definitely come to the right place. And I'd like to say that if you find the content of this podcast helpful, I hope that you will consider sharing it with others. That's a wonderful way to support the podcast. Now, we do have a few series here on the podcast. We have our Tuesday Taoism. We have our Zen stream on Sundays. And then I do try to throw in an extra episode here and there when I have time on another topic, something related to mental health usually. That is my background. I've been a psychotherapist for about 16 years now. So you'll hear about things like just meditation, mindfulness, relationships, mental health issues, anything and everything, basically, that helps you reach your goals, achieve your dreams, and just live an overall happier day-to-day life. All right, so today being Sunday, we are doing our Zen stream, and I found a really good couple of readings, actually, today to share with you. I got both of these from Thich Nhat Hanh's book called Your True Home. For those of you that don't know, Thich Nhat Hanh is a pretty well-known Vietnamese Zen monk, and he put together this book called Your True Home. It's a collection of very short daily meditations. So I'm going to read one here, and there's another one that I want to refer to that I'm connecting the two, even though they're sort of on separate topics. But I believe they connect nicely to point out something that I think really trips people up in their ongoing quest, which I think most human beings share, to be happier, just to be so simple, right? Just to be a happier human being, right? That's something that we all would like. And we all have different obstacles to attaining that state of happiness. And when you really delve into this idea of happiness, things can get very interesting. And I hope that that is what will come out as I continue with today's episode, as we look at this idea of happiness and what are the obstacles that present themselves on our way toward achieving greater degree of happiness. And a lot of those obstacles, believe it or not, are self-imposed. Probably most of them are self-imposed. A vast majority of them are self-imposed. Granted, there are situations that many of us find ourselves in life sometimes where it would be, you know, can be quite a tall order to feel happy given that situation. You know, I'm talking about catastrophes, you know, traumatic situations, you know, disease, illness, you know, chronic pain. I mean, there's a lot of issues that we face as human beings living these lives that could definitely make happiness seem harder to attain. But I would say for the vast majority, a lot of our blocks toward achieving happiness are self-imposed. And I want to use these two readings to talk about what I believe is some of the most common forms of blocks or obstacles. So this is the first one, the first little reading meditation is called Ideas of Happiness. So let me read this and we'll talk about it a little bit and then we'll jump to the other one, which I think will also be helpful, like I said. So Ideas of Happiness, this is Thich Nhat Hanh from his book, Your True Home. If there are things that are causing you to suffer, you have to know how to let go of them. Happiness can be attained by letting go, including letting go of your ideas about happiness. You imagine that certain conditions are necessary to your happiness, but deep looking will reveal to you that those notions are the very things standing in the way of happiness and are making you suffer. That's the end of that one, that first meditation. Now, it's been a while. I believe it was maybe a year ago, between 1 year, maybe a year and a half ago. There was a YouTube video that I did, and I don't remember the exact title, but it was kind of like a funny title. It was something like "When Feeling Great Sucks," something to that effect. It was basically pointing out some of the same things that this little passage is talking about, and that's what I really want to delve into deeply here. So we want to first draw an interesting line between ideas of happiness, concepts of happiness, and the true present moment experience of happiness, because these, believe it or not, are two different things. Now, there are times where both of them line up, and that's nice, right? Like, you know, you're on vacation, you're in a really nice place, you suddenly, you know, feel very, very happy, you feel overjoyed, you feel a lot of gratitude come up. And mentally, then you think to yourself, wow, I'm so happy right now, right? That's nice. That's when those two things line up. But I think for many people, those situations are not all that common, right? We often find ourselves a lot more. I would say, it's hard for me to think of a percentage really, but let's say 80%, a just really rough estimate. Most of us are constantly thinking about happiness, how to achieve happiness. What do I need to do right now to feel better? You know, how can I entertain myself? How can I, you know, get this thing that I want in order to be happy? You know, this raise, this promotion, this amount of money, this relationship, this, you know, physical appearance, this, you know, how do I go about attaining this thing? Because, I mean, what's the reason we strive to attain anything, right? What is the underlying reason? It's because on some deep level, we believe that we will be happier if we have it, right? Well, we'll be whatever. You could replace the word happiness possibly with satisfied, you know, or gratified or fulfilled, right? I mean, but these are all similar vein to happiness, right? That is a big drive for us is to this, to experience more and more happiness. Now, interestingly, as I have said here, you know, many times on the podcast, you've heard me talk about it. We tend to most human beings tend to live our moment-to-moment awareness through the conceptual mind, the thinking mind, right? And I'm sure, you know, if you pause for a moment and you just pay attention, it's very easy to notice the thinking mind. It's the one that's always talking to you, always judging. It's always, you know, narrating what's happening to you. It's always planning for the future. It's always reflecting on the past. It's always, and it a lot of times, most of the time, it is not really within the present moment, right? It's always thinking about something that is not happening in the present moment. That's kind of what it does. And, you know, I've said it before, there's a certain utility in that, right? We need to sometimes, given our human condition and the society we live in, we need to have some time to think, plan for our future, perhaps, you know, reflect on the past, a lesson we need to learn, whatever. That's fine. I'm not saying you have to get rid of that mind. What I'm saying is that we tend to overuse that part of our mind. We almost, I would say, not even almost, I'm just going to say it, we are trapped in that mind. And it is very difficult for most people to get any kind of reprieve from that mind. Well, guess what lives in this mind? It's our ideas about happiness, our concepts of what happiness is supposed to feel like, right? So a lot of times we have this ideal of what happiness, this is me happy. We have this mental projection, this image in our mind. I don't know how much you think about this, but it's always there subconsciously in the background. There's this image of what needs to happen for you to attain happiness. And we set up our lives to attain this time and place, this position, this arriving, right? Oh, when I get here, then I'll arrive. Then I will be happy, right? And this is not new information, right? We've had many teachers talk about how we postpone our own happiness by always projecting it into the future. But what's very interesting is that the very act of doing that creates a very strong habit, a mental, emotional, behavioral reaction pattern that gets repeated over and over and over and over again. I think a good, like, kind of classic, perhaps overly simplified example of this is, for example, like, you have somebody who's a real penny pincher, right? And they're just like, they hold on, they don't spend anything. I'm talking like a really, 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 really cheap person who doesn't spend a dime on anything, never goes out to eat, never enjoys any vacations, never buys anything nice for themselves, just holds on to all their money, just hoards it. And in the back of their mind, you know, they may think, well, once I have this amount of money, once I reach this certain amount, then I'll, you know, have fun, enjoy my life, quit my job. I'll, you know, live off my savings, and then I'll really start to travel and I'll really start to do all these things. But then they fall into this trap, like I was just saying, the mental, emotional, behavioral trap of just a habit, that they build this habit for 10, 20, 30 years of saving. And then when the moment finally arrives that they reach that conceptual goal, they can't enjoy it because they've built that habit for so long. Now they're stuck in it. They don't know how to change it. So now they're like, well, what if I take this trip, but then the price of my stocks go down? Or what if something happens and then my savings get, you know, affected? Or what if this happens? And so they get stuck perpetually in this place where they don't really know how to enjoy what they've reached, right? And the years of living with this future concept of being happy has become the habit. So now every single moment gets interpreted in the same way. And even though they have reached that point that they were striving for, now the mind is so set because of how long it's been doing what it's been doing that it is, for all lack of a better word, almost incapable of changing their mode of thinking. And what I'm trying to tell you is that the way that we approach this moment of happiness is much the same way, is that we conceptualize happiness, right? But that conception, as long as it remains a concept, will never, ever get us to the true feeling, the true self-realization moment of experiencing happiness in this moment. Now, I'm going to give you a good question you could ask yourself to determine whether you're experiencing true happiness in the present moment versus conceptual happiness in just a moment. Let me just pause here for a word from a sponsor and I'll be right back. All right, you all, thank you for your patience. I am back. Let me take a quick moment here, remind you that if you ever want to reach out to me to ask a question, make a suggestion, express a concern, or if you have an idea for a future podcast episode, you can always email me at elucidatethereal@gmail.com. You can also, if you like, hop on over to the YouTube channel, same name, Dreams Warp, find any one of the videos, doesn't matter which one, and you could post your comment, question, concern there. I get notified right away and I could respond to you in the comments section of that video. I'm also on Twitter, so you could send me a direct message there on Twitter if you like. And while you're at it, you can follow me there. I do post things regularly and retweet some things that I like. I think those serve as nice nudges or reminders throughout the day to focus on your breath, focus on the present moment, focus on your practice. So follow me there on Twitter to get that good stuff. And finally, I'd like to say that if you are listening to this on Apple Podcasts and you are enjoying the content, I hope you could take a moment and leave a nice rating and review. That's another wonderful way to support the podcast. So we have been talking about happiness and the difference between the conceptualization of happiness and the true present moment experience of happiness, and how the conception can actually start to serve as a block toward experiencing that happiness in the present moment. Now, I had mentioned earlier a video that I did a while back about, you know, something like when feeling great sucks. And the idea of that video that I was trying to get across, and it's similar to what I'm saying here, but possibly from a different angle, is that many times we have this, again, this ideal of what happiness is supposed to feel like, and we constantly compare the present moment to that ideal. And because we want the ideal to be so great, right, we tend to judge the present moment as not quite measuring up, right? Well, it's almost good, but I still have to work on this. And, well, yeah, you know, this is pretty good. I enjoy these aspects of my life, but there's still this going on and I need to, you know, take care of that. And, you know, once this and this gets resolved, then I'll, you know, I'll feel better. And so, again, it's that thinking mind that keeps getting in the way of being able to actually experience genuine happiness in the present moment. Now, I had mentioned that I had a question to ask you that may help kind of look at where you are with this whole issue. And this comes a little bit from the background that I have in therapy, psychotherapy. And one of the questions I remember learning about in school was something called the miracle question. And I've used it maybe a handful of times, not that often, to be honest. But it was neat when I first heard about it. And I think it applies here a little bit. So the question basically goes like this. Let's say somebody comes in for therapy and they say, oh, you know, I'm so unhappy. You know, my this is going on and my that is going on. And I don't feel satisfied with this. And I don't feel, you know, good about that. And, you know, I really want this to be different and et cetera, et cetera. They have all these, you know, explanations for why they are not feeling happy, right? And then, so what the miracle question is you ask the person, okay, well, if you were to wake up tomorrow morning and you felt happy, right? You actually had that feeling of happiness, how would your life be different? What would your life look like? And interestingly, you would be amazed, but interestingly, many times people struggle with this question. They really struggle with this question. Why? Because they immediately start talking about things that would not be present in their lives. So in other words, let's say, let me get real concrete on you. Let's say somebody comes in and says, oh, you know, I'm having, you know, I'm not happy because, you know, I've been arguing a lot with my wife and, you know, we're not getting along and, you know, we're not spending time together and we're, you know, we're constantly bickering and we're, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I asked the person, okay, if you were to wake up tomorrow morning and you're happy, you're feeling wonderful, your relationship is perfect, what would the relationship look like? And then they would start jumping into things like, well, we wouldn't be fighting anymore. Well, we would, you know, we wouldn't be, you know, constantly avoiding each other. It's all about what would not be there, right? But that's not what I asked. I said, what would be there? How would it be different? What would it look like? What does the relationship look like if it was giving you what you wanted? And then you could spend a good chunk of time helping the person to rephrase those goals. So instead of saying, well, we wouldn't be fighting as much. Okay, well, if you wouldn't be fighting as much, what would you be doing instead? Oh, well, I don't know. Maybe we would be, you know, having conversations about our day more often. Or maybe we would be going out to dinner like we used to once a week. Maybe we would be holding hands more often. Oh, okay. Now we're starting to paint a picture of what we can create as goals toward achieving what the person wants, right? Because you can't really build goals on things that are not there, right? I mean, you could. There are ways to do that with certain issues. But we want instead, I find it more powerful to, instead of pointing out what should not be there, we are going to be talking about what we do want to be there, because it's easier to build goals around that. So you could call this kind of like behavioral replacement, right? So this is one idea that you could use in this process that we're talking about, is that if you are finding yourself saying, I know I can be happy one day, but I, you know, this and this and this needs to happen and I need to get here. And so just drop all that and ask yourself, okay, if you were to wake up tomorrow morning and all of the things that you needed to be happy were present, right? How would you feel different, right? What would be the signs that you would see in yourself, in your thinking, in your behaviors, and your emotions that would tell you that now you are happy? What does that look like, right? And you start thinking about that question, right? Now, unfortunately, the one limitation to this process, and there is a limitation to it, is that it still tends to engage that thinking mind. And that points out the habit that we all have. Is that, oh yeah, that's an interesting question. Oh, let me think about that. Oh, I guess I would think this, and maybe I would feel this way. And then I could, and so, you know, you could write this out. You could take out a sheet of paper and a pen and write it down. Describe it to yourself. What would you look like if you were happy? What would you be doing if you were happy? How would your life be different if you were happy? Right? And you start writing down all these things. But unfortunately, again, we are still, when we ask this kind of intellectual question, we are still activating an intellectual response. And now we need to kind of take this a little bit of a level deeper, right? And ask ourselves, okay, how do I access the part of my mind, the part of my consciousness that is not thinking, conceptualizing, rationalizing, planning, future telling, you know, regretting, looking at the past? How do I do that? And of course, this is stuff that I've also talked a whole lot about here. Different practices to that end, things like meditation, like mindfulness. I find for myself, one thing that has been helping me, that has helped me tremendously in this area, is taking a lot of time to focus on how I feel in my body. That makes a huge difference, because as we make the transition from that intellectual conceptualizing mind to the part of the mind that we want to connect more with, which is the more present focused mind, there is more body awareness in that mind. So when you get very much into your conceptual mind, you're just thinking. It's all very intellectual. It's all very kind of nebulous. It's all very disconnected from the present moment. Well, what's always in the present moment? Your body. Your body is always in the present moment, right? So as you become more present, you become more mindful, you become more aware of your sensory experience, then automatically you are shifting more into body awareness, into the anchor that is your body. So this has been, for me, revolutionary in my life. It has made a tremendous difference. So again, speaking for myself, and everybody has, you know, different situations going on with their body. But for me, a rigorous exercise regimen, a rigorous meditation practice, which is very much, in my opinion, very much a physical practice, because you are literally holding completely still when you are meditating. You are holding your body completely still. And of course, this eventually ends up impacting the state of your mind. But anyway, you got exercise, you got diet. I recently started doing the intermittent fasting. I don't know if I mentioned that before in a previous episode, but I have been doing that. And it's wonderful, wonderful. That basically consists of eating all the food for the whole day within an 8-hour window of your 24-hour day, which is not really that hard, right? It's not really that hard. If you really love your breakfast, you eat your breakfast as usual. You just try to make your dinner earlier, right? Maybe if you eat breakfast around 7 in the morning, then you want to have your dinner around 3 p.m. For me, it's been easier to wait to eat my breakfast until 11 and have my dinner around 7. So you could do that too, but it's all basically getting it within an 8-hour window. And I've been feeling really good. I've noticed a change. I especially noticed that when I do my meditation right before breakfast, like around 10:30, especially on weekends when I'm able to do that, it has an amazing effect on my meditation. Amazing. I just feel much mentally sharper, clearer. So try that out. But these are the kinds of practices that begin shifting us from that conceptual mind to that mind that is able to feel genuine uprising of happiness in the present moment. And that's key. But the whole deal is here is that we eventually want to let go, like he said in that reading where we started, of these concepts. The concept of happiness can become one of the biggest blocks to feeling happiness in the present moment, which sounds counterintuitive, but it's absolutely true. And he goes on in the second little thing that I want to read to you, okay, to say how many concepts can do this. Even the concept of enlightenment, right? So many people throughout the years have gotten stuck. Oh, I want to be enlightened. I want to achieve enlightenment, right? I want to have this. And they build this Eckhart Tolle talks about this in his book. They put this concept of enlightenment as being like somebody who, you know, walks on water and performs miracles, and you know, they're like, you know, they put up on this pedestal. And of course, their moment-to-moment experience, because that concept is so far out there, it continues to elude them in the present moment. And it's their very thinking that is creating this. Nothing is really present, blocking them from having that experience of enlightenment right now. And that is really, I feel, part of what Zen practice is all about, is being able to experience that without the thinking, conceptual mind jumping in. Now, interestingly, we have terms that we use, or concepts, dare I say, concepts to talk about this. We have concepts like enlightenment. We have concepts like nirvana. We have concepts which I've talked about here, like interdependent origination. Sounds really neat, right? We have all these concepts, but these are only pointing you, right, in the direction in which you need to go. Eventually, we want to drop all these concepts. And that is when we're able to actually experience the reality of the present moment. And that is the closest thing to the true experience of happiness, of joy, of gratitude happening right here, right now. So let me read this little last meditation to you, and then we'll end. This one's called The Fire Consumes the Match. And it's from the same book, Thich Nhat Hanh, Your True Home. He says here, "The teachings of impermanence and non-self are tools you need to work with, but you should not get caught in them. If you do, impermanence becomes just another concept, and so does non-self. These kinds of concepts are exactly what the Buddha said we should get rid of. He said that nirvana is the complete extinction of concepts, including the concepts of impermanence and non-self. When you want to start a fire, you light a match, and then the fire consumes the match. The teachings of impermanence and non-self are like the match. If you practice with intelligence and succeed in your practice, the match will be consumed, and you will be completely free." That's the end of that reading. So I hope that you found this helpful today in your practice. Again, if you have any questions, concerns, comments, you could always reach out to me at the ways I mentioned earlier. Stay tuned. I'll be back on Tuesday with another installment of Tuesday Taoism. I really want to thank you for listening, and have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day.